Coming to you from Cary, North Carolina, and Jackson, Michigan, it's the Get Options Podcast with your hosts Adam Silver and Kyle Maurer. This is the show where your WordPress questions are given some serious and not so serious options. And here they are.
Why, hello, and welcome to episode 102 of the Function Get Options Podcast, the irreverent fun advice show about your life with WordPress. I'm Adam Silver with my compatriot, my buddy, my friend, Mr. Kyle Maurer. Say hi, Kyle.
Hi, Kyle.
What were you doing over that? That was weird.
You're weird.
Oh, okay. I'm like, what are you trying to do? I'm like, what's that noise?
How you doing today, buddy?
I'm pretty good. I'm back from a solo run, and I looked at my splits for my mileage, and apparently I'm still faster than my 14-year-old. He's joined cross country. High school starts in a month, but he's training for cross country, and I'm faster than he is.
Wow. You're pretty fast. I jogged with you before. Yeah. And it's kind of hard to keep up with you.
I can be. Yeah. I mean, yeah. Well, you're just as tall.
I don't have the stamina.
Yeah. Yeah. So, but yeah, I picked it up a little bit today. So it was good. I mean, I walked down to this park where I go. It's kind of my mosey. I walk a lap. It's a quarter mile. And then it's not a track, but it's a little over a quarter mile. But anyway, and then I did a couple laps and I ran home. And as I ran home, FYI, I was in the street. It's still so early, not much traffic, but I like the asphalt better than the concrete pavement, FYI. And a cop pulls over and says, rolls his window down and says, I recommend you hit the sidewalk, sir. I'm like, all right. So I get off on this. So the cop tells me to get on the sidewalk.
Oh, my goodness.
I know. It's all right.
You rebel.
I said, thank you, officer. So I did. And I was almost home anyways. It's fine. So that's what I'm doing. So I'm working out still, running. And I'm dealing with college tuition. And beer.
You're dealing with beer.
I'm trying to remember to keep up, not keep up with you per se, but to kind of connect with you and others on the app. And I have typically a beer a week. I go out with the guys from F3, and I've had some good beers. I keep forgetting to check in at these places. So I sent you a picture of one a few days ago. I love the stouts and the porters. I mean, yeah, I think I found my.
Right, yeah.
But I also like a lighter beer, too. I'm not a big IPA. I'm not a big hoppy guy, but I like a decent, what was that one brand? I can't think of the name of it. I'll think of it in a minute or two. But I do like some lighter, flavorful beers.
Like Milwaukee's Best?
No, more of a...
PBR?
No, Coors Light, no. Yeah. Those are... I don't know. I mean, I'm sure people like it. I can't drink some of those. No, I'll think.
Does it come with any garnish, like an orange or anything?
I do sometimes enjoy a Fat Tire, but not the what's the one with the orange? Shock
Blue
Top,
Moon?
Huh? Blue Moon. Blue Moon is the orange, right? Yeah,
it's Shock Top. Oberon up here,
right? But there's another one as well. Anyway, the stouts. I'm a stout guy apparently, and a porter stout kind of guy.
You are.
Yeah.
You are. Well, so. I'm glad that you have your style. Generally, you always send me the pictures of these like. Black tar.
Wow. Well, okay.
Should be sitting next to a fireplace in a cabin.
Wow.
Drinking that.
I don't know. Just
like sipping it in the middle of summer.
Wow. Hey, it is what it is. What's that one I like? I can't remember the name of that beer. Like, you would know it if I told you. It's like I'll think of it.
Rolling Rock?
No.
You've told me this before.
Yeah.
You should know. Oh, Newcastle.
No. Newcastle is my old standard college favorite. Yeah, that was the standard. But no, not that one. There's something newer I like, actually, that I do enjoy. I can see the logo. I'll put it in the show notes when I remember it, and I'll come back to it later.
Okay. Sounds good.
Yeah. And you? What's up with you?
Shoot. I don't know. Not a whole lot. You know how last week I complained about transportation issues?
Yeah.
Yeah. I just we got a screw in the tire of one of our car tires this past week, so we had to go and take care of that. Day before yesterday, my Mac crashed hard, just like poof, gone in the middle of me typing something up.
Is that your computer or is it work computer?
It's mine.
Okay,
I've had it for over 5 years, and boom. There it goes. So I had to drive the 45 minutes to the nearest Apple store and leave it there. And it's still there. So now I'm operating off of my wife's smaller MacBook and trying to still be as productive as I can.
And yeah. What do you, may I ask you the obvious question, and I hope the answer is yes. Did you have a backup of it?
Backup of
the computer?
What? They don't just back themselves up.
No. Well, if you set them up, I mean, so did you have a backup?
Well, it's in the cloud, man. Like okay. Everything's in the cloud.
Is everything in the cloud for you?
I don't know, man. Like everything's.
Do you pay for a service?
We pay for iCloud and Dropbox.
Okay. So, do you feel do you feel pretty good? Because you know, when you get that computer back, it's gonna be, and the hard drive will be blank. They're gonna wipe it clean. 99% chance that it's gonna be empty.
That's pretty rude.
That's just how it is.
That's unnecessary.
That's what Apple does.
Find a way to save it.
No chance. I'm telling you right now that there is a slim chance that you will have a computer that looks anything like what you got when you sent it in, like as far as all the data that was on there.
Yeah.
So FYI, so what I do every Friday, I back up. It's on my to-dos every day. I mean, I do this every Friday, and also before I travel, and I take it with me. I have a little portable 1 terabyte drive, and I use Carbon Copy Cloner, and I clone my hard drive every Friday.
That's very smart. Well, I endorse that practice.
And I also have Backblaze, so you know, and I use Dropbox, yes, and a couple other things. But I clone the hard drive, which I travel with in case, let's say, you were traveling, because it's happened to me at WordCamp Denver like 4 years ago. My computer crashed.
Right.
You know, and it sucked. It was terrible. And now, because I had a backup of it, but it was at home, you know, so didn't do me any good. So what I do now is I literally take it with me. That way, if I wanted to go to the Apple Store, I could buy a computer, get mine fixed, buy one temporarily, return it within 2 weeks. I could clone theirs off of my hard drive, you know, be up and running, and then you know, deal with it.
Yeah, I know. No, I'm with you. Like, I actually think that this stuff is important.
It's not a matter of if, it's when, people. So
maybe we just have different approaches. Like I have gotten away from storing anything locally.
Okay.
That I care about. I only use cloud applications or web apps if I can.
Okay.
So like all of my documents are always done in like Google Drive or some other web app. Any files that I am working on locally are stored in my Dropbox folder.
Okay.
And also synced to iCloud.
Do you pay for Dropbox? Like, do you have that level? Like, how much Dropbox do you have? Like, the 2 terabytes? More than 1 terabyte?
Yeah. I do.
I paid for it like 2-3 years ago. I was always up against the ceiling, and then they just doubled it recently. So
I can't even think of what I would have.
And like, FYI, let's segue here just 1 second, real quick, on this. Did you see any of the drama from people in our circle who are anti Dropbox because of the new app interface they have? Do you care anything about that?
I missed that.
Okay. Last week on Twitter, you know, friends of ours of the show and friends of ours that we know, I don't want to call anybody out, but people were like upset about Dropbox and like this app that just auto launches. And I saw it happen to me once or twice. I'm like, okay, I still feel it's worth $100 a year that I pay to have the 2 terabytes that I can go to cloud and I can selective sync what I want on the laptop. I'm like, you know, yes, I could spin my own up through my Synology. I'm good for now, you know?
Right.
Yeah.
I think you know me. I'm not one who complains so much about the apps. I complain about the complainers who complain about the apps.
Exactly. Exactly.
Right, get your wine in, people.
Yeah. get off my lawn. All right. Anyway.
I hear you're whining.
So you're working off your wife's laptop. Your wife's laptop.
Yeah. So far, so good.
Okay. And when do you get the computer back? The wiped, clean computer.
I haven't heard from them. They're okay. Probably just keeping it. I don't know.
Are you thinking about replacing it eventually? Is that an option? Will work give you something? Will work cover anything?
Yeah, I'll figure something out. It is old. I mean, yeah, 5 years is kind of old.
It's getting a little long in the tooth. Yeah, I'll give you $100 for it when you're done. When it comes back, if you get something new.
Yeah. Yeah, I was looking to make a deal.
Right on. $50. It just went down. All right. So cool. How's your kid? Just your quick question.
She is precious. Oh my goodness, she's so much fun.
Nice.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I see videos of her dancing to JT. It's hilarious.
Justin Timberlake is her favorite.
Yeah, I mean, of course. I mean, why wouldn't he be?
Yeah.
I mean, he's like.
He reminds me of me.
I was gonna say he's barely above you and my favorite musicians.
Wow.
JT, KM,
right?
You know, Rick Astley. And on that note.
This is the point at which we do talk about everything that's new.
All right. One piece of news here that you want to share?
WordCamp Asia is scheduled. It has a location, which is Bangkok, Thailand.
Nice. Yeah, February next year.
This is the first continental or like major regional WordCamp besides the US and Europe to ever take place.
So I want to mention something else. I saw something else recently. I think it was last night on Twitter also. Just last night. Did it. This just in. Central America, or was it Africa? I saw another continental-based type of discussion.
No, we talked about that on the show.
We did, but no, this was just recently on Twitter, like last night.
Oh, yeah?
A, and then B, not regional whatsoever, but an oldie but a goodie, the classic. You may not know this, but you've been offline in a bit from the community side of things, busy. There was an application submitted for WordCamp in San Francisco.
What?
Yeah, the classic, the original, the OG. So I don't know. There's no date on it yet, but the application was submitted. Yeah. I'm excited about that. Okay. I want to go back to San Francisco.
WordCamp San Francisco. The last one was a special occasion.
It was
like a really meaningful experience for me. It was probably like my fourth WordCamp. I hadn't been to very many at the time, and I had never been to California. I think that was the first time. Well, I guess I was born in California, but other than that, I'd never been there as an adult. And that was the first time I'd ever flown since like my honeymoon. And I was new to the community, and I came in and I was like starstruck, and just everybody everywhere is like, oh my goodness, these are all the people.
Yeah. Hey, well, the funny thing is,
hey, Andrew Nathan, hey, Mark Jacobith, hey, Matt Mullenweg, hey, all these people.
Right.
And then somebody comes up to me and is like, hey, are you the guy who made Betterfy?
It's awesome.
Yeah.
Well, the funny thing from my point of view was, it had been maybe my third or fourth camp as well. And I met Matt then, and I was dared to ask him to be on my podcast on Kitchen Sink. And he said yes, and that was cool. That was the last San Francisco camp. Mm-hmm. And then also, did you go to Automatic, to the building? Did you?
Yeah,
I went there.
After party was, yeah.
Right. So I went there, and that was cool. And then, of course, if you recall, and I've shared this with you before, there was the fire drill because the alarm went off. We all had to be evacuated. So we're outside on the side of the building, and I took pictures and video of stuff. And looking through those photos now, you're in some. We didn't know each other, which is hilarious. Like, you were like 10 feet away from me, didn't know each other. I didn't meet you for another year.
Right.
Yeah, pretty cool. So, it is funny. You're right. I mean, looking at these photos, it's like, oh my gosh, there's all these people that you know their names and you see them, and now I'm like friends with them. 25 years later. So.
The good old days.
Good old days. All right. So, yeah. Anyway, congratulations to Asia being in Bangkok. I mean, it's
congratulations to Asia.
To WordCamp Asia in Bangkok. I think it's February 21st, 22nd, in that time frame. And I really want to go, and my passport is valid. However, that is also my dad's birthday. My dad's birthday is February 22nd, and my son's the 21st.
So take him.
Well, I could take my son. My dad wouldn't want to go travel that far, and he'll be 89 next year.
Dang.
So, yeah, it's a tough time to potentially travel away. We'll see. We'll see if I can make it work. Okay. Anyway. Okay. Yeah.
Wow.
All right.
Cool. Hardly any changes.
None. Very few. Very few.
Oh, my goodness.
Okay, I'll take the first one.
Okay.
Katie Richards is now the community manager over at Pantheon.
Congratulations, Katie and Pantheon. Yeah, we keep talking about Pantheon this year.
So we want to mention the connection to Katie Richards real quick. Just
Katie Richards is from Michigan.
Okay, that's good. is the better half of Brian Richards.
Yeah. You probably have never heard of. He's done a couple WordPress related things, but he's just he's a guy out there. He's okay. He's okay.
Wow, I'd give him a little more props than that. But anyway, okay, that's fine. If you want to leave it at that. go ahead, you take the second one.
Dwayne McDaniel has started his own consulting business. Mm-hmm. It sounds really interesting. I forgot the name of it. I should have thought of it, but it's interesting.
Yeah, it's called
Process, maybe.
Let's take a look here. Let me see if I can't find it out. Process Digital Consulting.
Yeah.
So he's doing a lot of like onboarding type of process driven type of work consulting.
Yeah. So props to Dwayne. Best wishes on his future project.
So he was at, I think he left Pantheon to do this. Yeah, he's doing his own thing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Zach Skaggs has moved to Procter U to be the product owner.
Right on. Have you met Zach before?
If I'm not mistaken, wasn't Zach at... Yes, of course I know Zach. The reason I know Zach is because he was the best person ever back at WordCamp Denver. My laptop died. I go on
Twitter. He's that guy in this legendary story.
I go to Twitter, I'm like, hey, laptop died. Anyone have a spare, can bring a spare? He did. He had a brand new one, hadn't been used yet. Brought the spare, gave it to me for the weekend. I used it, got my presentation up and running, and he is awesome.
Yes.
Was he at
the WP Ninjas.
WP Ninjas, right. That's where he was originally, yeah. So.
Yeah. Congratulations to him on his new project.
And
let's see. Afia Smith is now an experienced designer at EA.
EA as far as like?
Electronic Arts.
Electronic Arts. Wow, old school EA.
Yeah, you know.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, where was Smith prior to this?
She was, I believe, a freelance design. No. What was she before? I looked this up and then I forgot.
Okay.
But she's been involved in some like really exciting design projects. Like she helped redesign CSS. No, not CSS Tricks. Shop Talk Show.
Oh, okay.
The podcast site. She's like a pretty well-respected designer who has been involved in some big projects. Based in Florida. Yeah, Orlando. Anyway, I don't know her personally, but I saw this being shared and saw the projects she's been involved with were familiar.
Awesome.
And congratulations to her.
Okay. How do you pronounce her first name? Afia?
Afia.
Yeah, okay. Cool. And lastly, there's a guy who some people may know, may not know, who may not want to know. Anyway, you have a changed role at Sandhills. You were, what was your current title or your past title?
Right.
Marketing?
Yeah, this is the public announcement.
Right.
You guys are hearing it probably for the first time.
Yeah.
Not that it affects you or matters a whole lot to you, but it's an exciting change for me. I've been a marketing lead.
That's right.
Sandhills Development.
For how long?
Focusing on the Easy Digital Downloads product, which is one of like six products in our portfolio. Mm-hmm. And I've been doing that for a couple of years now. And as of Monday, I think, I'll be the Director of Operations at Sandhills Development.
Congratulations.
Woohoo!
Woohoo!
Yeah.
Do you need an assistant? Because I know some...
I got one.
Oh.
I got one.
Dang it.
Sorry.
Ellen's just doing nothing most of the time.
Maybe my assistant needs an assistant.
Oh, fancy. So congratulations to everybody, Katie, Dwayne, Zach, Afia, and Kyle Maurer.
Hey.
To the changes. Yeah. Congrats, Mazel Tov, L'chaim, all those things. So, yeah.
What you wearing, what you reading, what you drinking now? What you wearing, what you reading, what you drinking now?
Yeah, let's cut back on those external sound effects during our songs.
I didn't help myself. Yeah. I can't.
I'm wearing a Gravity Forms shirt. I am, I think it's Gravity Forms. Yeah, it is. It's an old school one. Drinking coffee and water because I'm trying to add more water as always. And I'm reading a new book. I'm actually pretty well into it already. Bitcoin Billionaires. Saw this on the shelf of new releases at the library. It's about the Winklevoss twins. It's written by Ben Mesrich. There's two books with very similar titles, but this is the one I just want to make sure that people know. Pretty interesting so far. How they. The whole issue with Facebook, the money that they settled for, $65 million, but how they couldn't get any more. They want to be angel investors. That's where I'm up to. But nobody would take their money because everything that starts up in Silicon Valley is potential acqui-hire for Facebook. And so if you touch their money anyway. So, but then, of course, part of the story is based on the title, Bitcoin. I think they made way more in Bitcoin. Oh, and actually, speaking of which, they were offered a settlement of $65 million from Zuckerberg. They said no. They took it in stock, which then turned out to be $500 million.
Holy moly.
Right. The lawyers who brokered this deal didn't want to be paid in stock. They said no. They took their 15%, which was like, you know, whatever, or whatever percent, like $15 million. Had they taken their payment in stock, it would have been worth, when it vested, $300 million.
Holy.
Right?
Yeah.
Those lawyers are coming in. Dope. Yeah.
Whoops.
So the brothers don't have to work. They didn't have to work, but they, you know, they felt like they still want to anyway. So
this is a lesson to all you freelancers and out there. When clients come to you and offer you like equity instead of payment, yep, always take it.
Yeah, totally. I mean, I'm willing right now. Can I just put this out there? I mean, I'm looking for investors in all of my things. The one main thing right now, you know, backup speaker. But yeah, if you want to, you know, if you're interested in taking a, you know, helping out in some capacity, giving me some cash for stock, or I don't know, or just build the site or something, you know, in exchange for equity. Yes, that's how I want it.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Always take that deal.
Totally worth it.
Right.
Because the valuation is so big. Okay. Anyway.
Just stop.
Yeah. And what are you wearing, drinking, reading?
Wearing an old school A2 hosting t-shirt. Wow. One that says better than steak sauce on the back.
Yeah, yeah, I have that one.
Right. I'm drinking some coffee. Dunkin' Donuts brand. And I'm actually finding it to be pretty decent. Not very astringent.
Hmm.
And I'm enjoying it. And I'm almost done with Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows.
Awesome. Awesome, awesome. Okay.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know what we need right now? We need a bumper. I'm going to have to create one when we might have a segue into a sponsor. Because we have a sponsor.
Yeah, we do. In fact, now, we've got lots to say here.
Yes, please.
Now, buckle up, buckle up. I've only had this experience a handful of times. I go to try out a product that sounds mildly interesting or useful, and once I try, I'm just floored. Like, floored by how easy it is, and also floored by how obviously I need and can no longer live without it. And that's what happened with Termageddon. Termageddon is a new product on the market, and this episode is brought to you by Termageddon. I thought the concept was interesting when I heard about it, but once I used it, I was like, oh, this is amazing. This is so completely necessary. Now, what Termageddon does is it allows you, it like generates for you four different types of policies, which you can put on your website: a privacy policy, terms and conditions, an end user license agreement or EULA, and a disclaimer. These are four documents which are essential for almost every website in 2019 and beyond. Not having these on your site in 2019 is irresponsible, unprofessional, and illegal. Remember the good old days when we were younger and we could throw up websites online with anything and there were no rules. We didn't need to think about security and SSL and backups and disclosing our affiliate relationships and so much more. Well, I'm sorry, but not that sorry to say that those days are very, very much over. The internet has grown up just a little bit. Now there are so many laws governing the web: GDPR, COPPA, CCPA, Nevada privacy law, and these are just a few, which pertain only to the privacy policies. That's not even getting to all the laws pertaining to EULAs and disclaimers and TNCs. Anyway, guess what? There are way more laws coming. We have a lot of listeners who sell website development and maintenance plans, and I personally believe that you guys need this. Sign up for the agency program at termageddon.com. so you can add even more value to your offering and keep your clients protected. Be the professional. Don't be a lawyer. Let Termageddon take care of the constantly evolving policy requirements. Check it out.
Very cool. Yeah. And just to add real quick, we have an account. We tried it out. We tested it. It's been implemented over on Get Options Podcast. Pretty simple, pretty easy, and really worth doing. So, yeah.
Yeah. It's outstanding.
It really is.
It allows you to have like dynamically generated policies that evolve with the legislation.
Right.
You never have to think about or worry about whether yours are completely in compliance with everything that matters today.
Right. It's pretty cool.
You just answer a few simple questions.
Yep.
And boom, all the legalese is spit out for you.
Yeah. Very neat. Very cool. Okay. Hey, Kyle, guess what time it is?
Relax, bro. What's the rush, man? We've got all kinds of time.
Okay.
Maybe we just sit here and take a break for a while and chill. Podcast isn't going anywhere, dude. We just take a break, right? We got time, right?
Hey, it's right. It's questions time. Whoops, I didn't do that right. There it is. It's questions time. That's right. You sent them in. We read them. We researched them. And now it's time to give you some options. Do, 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 do. that was awesome.
Okay. That was awkward.
Awkward. Let's read that first question.
First question comes to us from Jeff Matson. And Jeff says, I see the WordPress ecosystem changing quite a bit in the coming years with a lot more headless. That could be a fun topic. Thanks, Jeff. We agree. It is a fun topic, and we're going to tackle it right now. Get ready.
Okay, so you're more of a developer than I am. I'm going to go ahead and say that aspect. So I'm like, I wrote, my first thought was, okay, sure. It's a fun topic. Okay. Mm-hmm. That's an option.
You're right.
Or the other option is no, it's just being mean, headless, brainless, no soul. I mean, it's like my porter. It's dark, black, like my soul, right?
Yeah. It is
like
that.
My stouts. So I don't know. But I think what he's actually talking about, which I want you to expand on, is when someone says headless, it's decoupled.
I think that's
what he's talking about.
He could be. We don't have Jeff on the show today that I know of.
But in looking, I Googled headless WordPress, and a lot of the responses were decoupled. So if you wanted to maybe expand on what that meant and what you thought this might be.
I mean, I can talk about headless, of course, but the thing is, what I really think is on the verge of taking off is something else. I think we're on the brink of a rise in the number of people building buttless websites. And that is where people keep the amazing WordPress themes and templating system and ditch the smelly old back end. So, yeah, buttless WordPress is going to be the next new thing. You mark my words.
What about a necklace? Like, you know, like not a necklace like you wear, but like, you know, like no neck. Like, you know, like these guys from like the guys who do MMA. A lot of those guys just have no neck.
I don't know which part of the system is considered the neck.
It wouldn't be the query.
Could it be?
Or the loop?
I don't know. I don't know.
I have no idea where to go with this, honestly, Kyle.
Yeah, like which part is the femur?
Do we have any phalanges?
Yeah, that's a good question. Listeners should send us their
definitions.
What body parts they equate to different parts of the
website. Of the website? Yeah, of WordPress. Like, what is a phalange? Wait, we know they're fingers, FYI. So what are the fingers of WordPress? Are those the plugins?
Right. And a sidebar, like what is that on a body?
And I'll tell you what, if people give us all the parts, there's 216 bones in the body, just give us, you know, just the major brushstrokes, we'll do a poster and we'll send you a copy. I'll do a small little, like, you know, tabloid size poster. We'll have it designed professionally.
Right.
I say that in air quotes, but still. I mean, we know people on Fiverr. We know five.
Jeez.
Do you have anything? Do you want to add anything to this?
It's just another fad. Headless. It's not going to last. It's just like Flash. People are just trying to make really cool websites, but eventually they'll all come back.
Wait. Are you saying
simple page-based websites, and things will go back to the way they should be? None of this fancy stuff.
Static.
Yeah.
So you're saying Flash was a fad? It's no longer. I mean, it's not even out anymore. I
hate to break it to you, man. You got a lot of websites to update.
I was thinking about rolling back
The podcast.
I was going to roll back to Fortran because I just watched once again a good chunk of the movie Hidden Secrets. No, Hidden
Figures.
yes. Secrets. Oh, awkward.
Hidden Secrets. Wow, that sounds
it's a double.
Secretive.
Yeah. Hidden Figures. I like that movie.
Yeah. Okay. Anyway, let's get dangerous. Let's get serious.
Please.
It's crazy. It's crazy to me how mainstream these super abstract concepts are becoming. it's always kind of fun when they enter the mainstream conversation. So many people are talking about headless and REST APIs and test coverage and object-oriented this and that, and just do not understand them.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're pretty deep and pretty abstract. Yeah. A lot of these concepts.
And full disclosure, I don't say these things because I don't know what they entail. And I'm deferring to you. You know, all jokingly aside, I'm like,
a knock on people who don't understand them.
I know the terms. I hear them. I could speak to them as far as I know what to say, but I have no idea what I'm talking about. So,
what do you got? Yeah. Anyway, these concepts are hard to grasp, and they assume so much knowledge. And in order for you to understand headless, you really have to deeply understand what a CMS is and how websites work and how themes work and how databases and front-end frameworks and all of it also work. And without that knowledge, headless is not going to make a lot of sense. Yes, I do agree 100%. There will be more headless in the future. WordPress themes are not as elegant and sophisticated as modern front-end frameworks. There's really no comparison. And so I expect there to be more headless websites. WordPress is kind of struggling with a classic inertia problem. It has gotten so big that innovation is now incredibly slow. But the web is advancing and web developers are innovating like crazy around and outside of WordPress. So now WordPress has this friendly REST API. People can use these hot new front-end frameworks to build real snazzy websites while letting WordPress handle the content management. That stuff is possible like it never was before. But I'm not convinced that this is really going to become like a very serious part of the web development world in the future. I don't really think that headless WordPress will take off big time.
So what would be the definition of that? Like, what does headless WordPress look like? I mean, so, just for me, for my own edification.
Yeah. okay.
Like a use case.
All right. There are ways to build a web page, lots and lots of ways. And these days, there are a lot of really exciting and fun, like JavaScript-based frameworks, you know, React and Vue and Angular and
Node, and Gatsby, those?
Well, not exactly, okay. but still close.
Okay.
There's a lot of these different ways to build very modern, snazzy, fast, interactive, dynamic interfaces, like the kinds of sites that the modern web is demanding. People are asking for sites that like have an app-like experience, where it's not so much the old school style of like clicking hyperlinks and waiting for the next page to load and stuff, but more like things are happening in the page. You know, you're switching between items and some, you click on something and it loads and it refreshes a list dynamically and you're interacting with an interface. It's like a dashboard. You log into any web app and you can turn some dials and controls and play with stuff in the page. I'm not describing it very well, but you've used web applications before.
Mm-hmm.
And those are not just like a bunch of old school hyperlinks to new pages. These are powered by JavaScript frameworks. And people want to build some of this cool stuff. Well, you know what? The WordPress front end is, that paradigm is not, has not evolved very much. And really is not conducive for creating those kinds of front-end experiences.
Okay.
Sometimes people want to use some of these modern technologies to build their website, but they desire a backend like what WordPress has. So the front-end website is going to have content. Mm-hmm. It's going to have different content types. It's going to have a user system. It's going to need to pull data from a database. Maybe it'll have e-commerce, whatever else. All of that stuff is back-end stuff. And WordPress kind of has it all figured out and solved. And so a cool thing to do is to say we're going to use the WordPress back-end, but we're not going to use the WordPress front-end. Mm. Not at all. We're not going to use themes. We won't even bother to touch that system at all. We're going to have a front-end that is separate, that is built in like a React app that's in a different directory. It could even be on a different server entirely. And in that, in those files, it makes, it uses the WordPress REST API to call back to your WordPress site and retrieve the data that it needs. So visitors come to the site and they're interacting with your Vue or your React app. And that in the back end is making an API call to your separate WordPress site somewhere else, wherever, it doesn't matter, and retrieving the data that it needs. This is possible now because WordPress has that REST API and almost all frameworks and languages are able to conveniently interact with that.
So what would that look like from a, I might say, visually dashboard or like, I mean, okay, how about this? Are there any examples out there that someone could go to look at what this would experience would be like from like someone like me? Like if I say, okay, I'm interested in doing this, I want a different experience for myself. Where would I go to see this in action?
You wouldn't, probably. Huh. Yeah.
So it's very ethereal.
Well, there are definitely people doing it.
Okay.
And maybe they would pull back the curtain and show you what they did.
Okay.
But pretty much all examples of this are bespoke
gotcha.
Solutions so far. So what I think is, there is the potential for certain headless approaches to get popular enough that they become standardized and packageable. And I think if someone really figures out a way to make an easily repeatable headless WordPress system, then in that case, a large number of people might start choosing it as an alternative to the built-in theme system. Right now, you boot up a WordPress site, it's designed to work with its own theme system. That's how, like, the front end and the back end are almost awkwardly intertwined. And you can go around it if you want to, but it's advanced. It's quite advanced to do
so. Yeah, it sounds it.
And I'm not convinced it's going to really take off.
Okay.
Because I think it's a bit forced right now and it's a ton of work. There are great reasons for doing it, but largely it's like, I just want to use WordPress on the back end.
Okay.
There are plenty of other options that might even be easier if you're like, I have to build my front end in this modern framework and just crusty old WordPress themes are not going to do the trick. Then it's kind of like a complex discussion. Maybe justifying using WordPress as your back end right now is not that easy. Because it's so much work. Okay. And WordPress is not very well designed to, allow you to just like remove the front end aspect or not incorporate that. So I don't know. I'm not sure that it's going to take off.
Okay.
But it could. The reason that it could is if somebody like develops a pretty good, easy to repeat way for implementing headless WordPress. So that people who are not as advanced at figuring out every step on their own could just kind of copy that or download that or install that. And then that might work.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Okay. All right. It's not interesting. Sure. I mean, it's an interesting question. I appreciate Jeff's query because, see what I did there? Query. Because it gets me thinking way outside of my comfort zone and my knowledge base. You know, and it does give us options to look at. And who knows what's coming for the future. So... But I think it is changing, and who knows where things will go in the next 2, 5, 10 years. It's hard to say.
Who knows?
But I think the concepts are there. The implementation is still new and still rough. Am I correct in that?
Yeah, it is. It is. It's like it's very niche. right now, there's this small segment of the web development population who is like, I want to build a modern front end on a really cool framework, but I also want to use WordPress as my mm-hmm. back end.
Okay.
So there's a ton of people on either side, a ton of people who are like, we can get all this stuff done with a WordPress theme system and some plugins.
Right.
On one side over here. And then on the other side, there's all these people who are like, why would you use WordPress as your back end when you're working with these fresh and new and,
right.
and super saucy new frameworks?
Right.
There are other options for powering your back end.
Okay.
So there's this sliver of people in the middle who are trying it out, and it's pretty cool, and they've got strong arguments in their favor, but I still think it's a small segment, and I'm skeptical about whether it's going to grow a lot in the future.
Yeah. Okay. Interesting. All right. Question two. This was sent in by Alex G. What people outside of the WordPress world do you wish were involved in it? I hear Johnny Ivey is available because he left Apple to do his own consultancy, his own design company, back to Apple and other people as well. So I have a few. I have like four names that popped in my head right away. In no specific order. I'll just start off with Mr. Maurer, like, you know, your dad.
He would be great. Yeah, he's such a hard worker.
He is. I mean, if he was interested in the tech, if that was something, I could definitely see him diving all in. I think he has that, you know, tenacity to stick with it just a little bit of just, Mr. Maurer, join us.
Right. And he's got so much of that classic dad wisdom
right.
that we could all use a little more of.
Right. So,
you know, safety first,
mm-hmm. yeah.
you know, lift with your legs, not your back.
And right. Which makes a lot of sense in the WordPress right. space.
Yeah.
Stand and deliver, you know, use a standing desk, you know, up at sunrise, work 15 hour days, you know, I get it. So, mm-hmm. I would also like to see, my kids be involved because it's of cheap labor from my perspective.
I didn't even think about that.
Yeah. So that's good. Do you have anyone? Yeah, yeah. I mean, I have two more, but I want you to throw yours in here.
Reggie Watts, just because I love him.
Okay.
For okay. no other reason than that. That yeah. would be cool. Yeah. Maybe Anakin Skywalker.
Ooh.
He could bring balance.
I would want to have the one and only Melody Hartzler.
Yeah,
she brings a lot of levity to that Hartzler household, I believe, and great recipes, and the health aspect really comes along. So,
yeah, yeah. For that matter, Bud Dunn, you know, is like that guy's hilarious and
yeah.
he's super smart.
Yeah,
and I like him.
Yeah, and my final one, really, may he rest in peace, Stephen Hawking.
Oh,
super smart.
Wait, you mean Hawking?
Hawking. Yeah. Sorry.
Yeah.
I mean, he would have brought, I think, a whole new level of depth and understanding to our take on content management systems.
Oh, yeah. It would have been amazing.
Right. Right.
Too bad.
Yeah.
It would be cool if Lana Del Rey
ooh.
Was in WordPress and performing at some after parties.
Yeah, I think then Avalon would be very much more interested in being part of this.
Yeah, I'd probably go to the after parties, actually.
Well played.
A couple of people came to mind who used to be very active in WordPress but aren't anymore.
Mm-hmm. Who's that?
Like Scriboo, Christy Bircha.
Okay.
He stopped using WordPress years ago after contributing a lot of amazing stuff. He wrote some of the most important blog posts on developing with WordPress, contributed to the project a lot in the mm-hmm. early days, wrote some amazing plugins and whatnot, and then, you know, left to work with other systems
mm-hmm.
and left a lasting mark. Mm-hmm. And he was a brilliant engineer.
Mm-hmm.
And Andrew Nason,
mm-hmm.
maybe. Not out.
He's gone, still connected.
But like he was
really there. Oh yeah.
Like doing everything.
Right.
And then left Andre Capital to work at the US Digital Service.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, I don't know. He was making a very direct impact for a long time.
Right. Right.
Less so now. Maybe Elon Musk would be really.
No, no.
I don't think he could make a difference.
I think he would.
People listen to him sometimes.
He would he would add levels of stress and unexpected. He would say, okay, version 6.0 is going to be out on Monday.
Yeah.
But he didn't say which Monday. So.
I like Brad Frost. He's just like a brilliant web front end guy, CSS and whatnot, and design.
Yeah. So there's a handful of names right there. That's a great team of people right there.
Yeah.
We'll put this list together and put it in the show notes so people can go back and link to certain people who have sites and content out there.
Chime in on Twitter. Yeah. At us, like with who you think.
That'd be awesome. So. Yeah. That'd be good. So we're gonna move on to our segment. This week's segment is Vagrant Up. Okay, it's all just the Vagrant.
Vagrant Up.
Okay, so
we've done this segment a lot. This has been a comeback segment.
Yeah.
But does it make sense to explain why it's called this?
Sure. I think it does.
Yeah.
Do it. Give it 10 seconds.
There could be like non-WordPress developers who don't get that the name of the segment is a bit of a play on words, as many of our segment names are.
Mm-hmm.
Especially these kind of like game segments at the end. Most of them have some level of a joke aspect to them.
Yes.
A vague rant up is a play on the command that one runs to boot up a Vagrant instance when you're doing local WordPress development using Vagrant.
Right.
So when you want to get started, you want to boot up your virtual server on your machine to use Vagrant to do local WordPress development, you run Vagrant up.
Right.
And we twisted that to create a game where we deliver vague rants about whatever we think
we need to rant about
is wrong with the world.
in WordPress or outside of WordPress.
Yeah.
So yeah. I went back and looked. I'm pretty sure I have not talked about this one. May I go first?
I would permit you to do so.
Mine is short and sweet.
Be my guest.
My rant this week, this episode, is about those little things that we call, or it was termed out there, convenience fees. As a parent of three, and the need to cover costs for certain things, tuition, high school sports, registrations, library fees, whatever it may be, even non-school things, movie tickets, online bills for the utilities that we pay, charges, to make a payment online, there is, quote, a convenience fee. I just said in air quotes. Convenience fee. So why are they charging me to make it convenient for me? I don't understand that whatsoever. Just add the fee to the bill, period. Ugh. In my opinion. I mean, I guess I could bust out the old school checking account and the checkbook and a 49-cent stamp. I don't even know what stamps cost. I get the forever stamps. Let's say it's 50 cents. And mail it to you. But now you don't even give me the envelope to do so because we're doing paperless billing. But if you're doing paperless billing to save you on paper, but you're charging me $2 for a convenience fee, oh my gosh. And then, so I'm just, that is my rant of the day. Stop charging the $2 or $3 because it's convenient for me to pay online. It should be convenient for you to take my money. All right, I'm done.
Okay. I'm with you, man.
Thank
They're
you.
They're stupid.
Yeah, it's dumb. Stupid. It's dumb.
I hate those kinds of dumb fees. Are the worst.
What do you got?
Okay. Mine's a little longer.
Okay.
But this is probably not a very original rant. Okay. Lots of people are going to be like, yeah, come on. Get with it. Everybody's ranting about that. We know. Still, I want to get real about retail.
Uh-oh.
Now, I don't have experience working in or running major retail companies. I'm just another confused customer. We all know retail is dying slowly and very painfully, and it's sad. But is it really dying because we're all lazy consumers and just want boxes to show up at our door so we don't have to get dressed and leave our homes? No. No. Is it because we're selfish and don't care about supporting our local economies? No. It's not that. It is because the retail experience actually sucks and is not getting any better. It's not changing. It's not improving. Other things are. Retail, get with the times. The other day, I went to buy a gift for my wife for her birthday. I said to myself, self, I'm going to go and buy this the old-fashioned way in a store. I'll get it instantly and be shopping locally. And we'll get to experience seeing other humans IRL. So I went in on a blazing hot day. I searched until I found what I wanted at the back of this large store. None of the items were priced. A little bit frustrating. Okay. All of them had size labels, which were unfamiliar to me. So I'm experiencing confusion while shopping. No staff were to be found anywhere. I had no cell reception within the store through which I could conduct any research or verify that I was at least grabbing the right size, let alone check whether any of these brands were reputable or the products had good reviews. No opportunity for me to do anything of the kind. So I picked one and I waited in a short line for a long time. I don't know what it is about these stores, but their lines are grossly inefficient. Like, I can go to the grocery store and it is an assembly line. Like, you move. But at these department stores, what is the deal? Why do three customers take 30 minutes? That doesn't make any sense. Finally, I got to the checkout counter and was told it was the wrong size. It was not what I actually wanted. And I needed to go to the back of the store and fetch a different one. So I did that patiently and waited even longer when I finally returned in a short line to the checkout. Finally, it was rung up. Turns out the price was more than four times what I expected it would be. I went in maybe with a foolish assumption of what it would cost, because we bought one of these years before and I remember how much it costed. Well, none of these items were priced, and it turned out to be hundreds more than I thought it would be. And so I said, no thanks. I was, of course, offered a credit card, which would come with some savings. And ended up leaving empty-handed. I went online, bought it on Amazon for 1/6 of the price. That included two very nice accessories, and had it at my house in 2 days. And in that shopping experience, I was able to read a number of reviews, compare a variety of brands, have transparent pricing in front of me, a seamless checkout in which I waited behind no one. And I didn't like sweat half to death from being out in the heat on this heat wave we've had. So my question is, why can't retail just help me with some of these issues? Why is it so much to ask to have some staff who could actually help me? And don't try to sell me store credit cards, but actually just answer my questions. Or maybe, is it too much to ask to just show the actual price of the products that I'm looking at? Or maybe do creative things, innovate a little bit, allow me to do some research in the store with actual cell reception or Wi-Fi or kiosks or something that would help me. Give me QR codes to scan so I could read reviews about the products. Like, I want to be an informed consumer. I'm used to these things. That doesn't seem like a lot to ask. Don't make me take my own items back to where they came from. Turns out I've grabbed the wrong one. Maybe offer shipping it to my house, because I've got a lot of other errands to run and some of these things are heavy or don't fit in my little car. Make it more normal to have unpackaged products that I could try and experience. That would be a reason for me to go check it out at a store as opposed to online. There are a lot of ways that the retail experience could be improved. But it's just not. It's staying exactly the same, or in some cases, getting worse due to understaffing. So I don't know. You just like don't have my sympathy, and that's my spiel.
Wow, that was it's a lot to take in.
Is it? I don't know. Probably everybody already feels this way.
Yeah, probably. That's all good. That's awesome. Four times the price. That's crazy talk. That is crazy talk. What was the item?
I was like, what? It was a mattress topper.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Amazon. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah, one of those memory foam things.
Yeah. Or Costco. So.
Yeah. Silly me.
All right. Let's take us out. Let's be done.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Adam. You're a great co-host. I just want you to know that.
Oh, go
and
on.
You, dear listener, don't go on. You're amazing. I love you, and I am grateful to you for tuning into our show and for sending us great questions like Jeff and Alex did. Check out termageddon.com. where you can learn all about the amazing services that they have, that our listeners should check it out. Add to the value that you offer by subscribing to this service and be the professional who is building websites responsibly and legally.
You can find us online, Twitter primarily, at @get_options. Kyle's at Mr. Kyle Maurer. I'm at Hey Adam Silver. We're also on SoundCloud. Say goodbye, Kyle.
Goodbye, Kyle.
Tip of the tongue. Check, check, check.
Why are you laughing like this?
No, no.
Ooh.
In the jungle, the mighty jungle,
the lion sleeps tonight.
Oh.
In the jungle.
I can hit high notes.